This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Mid-America. Welcome to it. It is 8:06 in the heart of the country. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in tonight at your service, and we are planning a very fun evening. I'm all excited because Matt is here running the controls, and hopefully he is going to keep me on pace tonight. This is exciting for me. It may not be exciting for you, but it's good for me because I started in radio when I was 15 years old, pretty much the same age that Matt is right now as he laughs at me. But my first job in radio was working in Berryville, Arkansas, KTHS, and I was board hopping Cardinal baseball games that, of course, emanated from this very radio station at KMOX. And here we sit all those years later, and we finally get to host a radio show on KMOX. So I'm excited to be here. I hope you are, too. We've got an exciting couple hours for you at Your Service tonight. We're going to talk with John Wieman later on. He is the former House Pro Temp of the Missouri House of Representatives. We're going to talk with Michael Gorin a little bit later on. Next hour, we're going to talk to Paul Cronin, who's the CEO of i3 Broadband, about the broadband expansion that's going on across the United States. And we're also going to talk to Scott Drochnick from the Economic Development Center out in St. Charles County. We'll discuss this workforce issue. Have you heard that people have trouble finding people to work these days? You may have missed that, but it seems to be a thing. So we'll talk to Scott about that. One of the big things, though, that's been talked about lately is the Supreme Court has been very quiet on decisions. I don't think we've heard from the Supreme Court going back until almost October from the last decision that they got. But there are some huge landmark decisions. They are saying this could be the biggest blockbuster year of decisions the Supreme Court has issued in quite some time. So me with a communications degree, not the person to really cut this apart and tell you what's the skinny that you should know about that. So when you need to that, you go to the Cato Institute, and I'm going to talk to scholar Anastasia Bowden, who is here with us. Anastasia, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome to KMOX. I am so excited that you are here to help make sense of this, because it seems like the Supreme Court has the biggest full plate that I've seen in quite some time.
Yes, certainly it's a very highly anticipated term, and yet we haven't heard anything from them yet. So court watchers are on the lookout for any opinions, which should start coming out anytime now. This is about the time that opinions come out. We're a little late in the schedule. But perhaps no case is more highly anticipated than the Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard case, or Students for Fair Admission versus UNC, both dealing with racial preferences in higher education. As you said, this is going to be a blockbuster term dealing with the scope of the 14th Amendment. And I think that case is truly why people are eager for the court to get writing.
There seems to be, this is a little different than some of these two affirmative action cases are completely different with what they're really claiming, aren't they?
Slightly different in the sense that one is dealing with a public university and one is dealing with a private university. But even though one has to deal with the civil rights law and one deals with the Constitution, that civil rights law has been interpreted to be coextensive with the Constitution. So ultimately, we will get a decision on what the Constitution requires when it comes to affirmative action, because racial preferences is one of the only ways in which the government has been allowed to engage in race-based action. In all other parts of our lives, the Supreme Court has said that the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause requires the government to treat us equally on the basis of race. And yet there's this small carve-out that's been created in terms of higher education, which is now really ramped up into outright racial balancing. It was supposed to just be a small measure meant to offer universities the benefits that ostensibly come from having a diverse student body. And yet we're seeing in both Harvard and the UNC case that these colleges are now engaging in racial balancing at the expense of Asian students. And so the question is whether the court needs to revisit that carve out and return to the view that equality before the law means equal treatment in all spaces.
The Harvard case is one that I thought was interesting because affirmative action is mainly talking about special privileges for minorities, but you have Asians who are actually bringing this case, normally thought of as a minority class, and they're saying get rid of this because they are being discriminated against, is saying that they're not being left into Harvard. They're being tried to a different standard. So I thought that was interesting that it's going to come down that way. Now, normally, we see the liberal judges stick together with the way that they vote. But with the conservative judges, it's kind of all over the board. Where is the money coming down on where do we think the conservative judges are going to go? Do you think they're going to stick together on most of these decisions? Or do you think it's going to be across the board?
You know, I always like to point out that we do in every term see strange bedfellows at the court where you see unlikely duos of conservative, so-called conservative and liberal justices lining up. But yes, in recent years, we have seen wild cards, including Chief Justice Roberts, who is sort of, I think, considered himself now the swing vote, you know, the centrist on the court, trying to preserve the reputation of the court amongst very hotbed issues. And you never really know where he's going to go, Obamacare being a great example.
Right.
But he has been very, very solid when it comes to equality before the law. He famously said that the best way to get rid of discrimination on the basis of race is to get rid of discrimination on the basis of race, that things like racial preferences are really pernicious and not good remedies, even for prior instances of discrimination, because they become so lax now. There's such a poor fit between racial remedies and the supposed discrimination that they're trying to remedy. But in any event, I think that this is a case where we will see your traditional block that you would expect, and that we won't have many justices stray from what court watchers would anticipate.
So we have affirmative action coming down. What are your top ones that you're looking for after that? What are the big ones in your mind?
Well, one of the big ones, and this isn't just because I'm out here in California, but it's the National Pork Producers case involving a California law that regulates the way that pork has to be, that essentially sows have to be raised in order for the pork to be sold in California. California consumes something like 90% of all pork in the country, and yet it produces very little. So when the state instituted these regulations requiring sows to be brought up in purportedly humane conditions, the effect of that law was to regulate the practices in every other state, because that's where the pork is coming from. It's not coming from California. It's coming from everywhere else. And so these pork producers sued, arguing that this regulation has extraterritorial effects that violate the Dormant Commerce Clause or they otherwise unduly burden commerce in violation of the Dormant Commerce Clause. And so the concern here is that if states start engaging in what California did, that really they're imposing their political preferences on other states. And we're going to get economic balkanization. We're going to get trade wars based on policy disputes so that, you know, one state is going to say, well, we only want products in our state that are produced by labor union work. Or you might get another state saying, well, we only want to support products if they're if they have mandatory vaccination laws, these types of things. And really, that's not the spirit of America. America was supposed to allow states to impose their own policy preferences so that, you know, we could choose among states where we want to live and the best ideas would win out. And of course, one of the central concepts of the Constitutional Convention was to stop the trade wars between states that were destroying our national economy and to preserve free trade among the states subject to only regulation that was big enough and important enough to be regulated by commerce. So when it comes to interstate commerce, I think California needs to get out, and we'll see if that happens. And that's a big case for lovers of not just pork, but federalism, too.
Hey, pork, the other white meat. I'm all about it. Well, I will tell you, you got me on that one in a couple of ways. One, I didn't have that one on my radar. Two, I did not know that California consumes 90% of the pork in this country. So you got me on that. But we've got a lot of big cases that are still out there. The student loan payment, the student loan debt, the authority to be able to forgive that is one. You've got Title 42 that's pending out there. You've got the voting rights. This interesting case about the ability to be able to adopt Native American children sounds like something that could really be big, especially for the Native American tribes. Just huge cases that are pending out there. When do you expect that we're going to start seeing the first decisions come down?
I'd be really surprised if we didn't see at least a couple by the end of the month. But of course, the court does like to wait until the very end of the term to release the biggest decisions. And of course, cases like the student loan case, which I think is just fascinating, not just because of the issues having to do with the president's authority here, but also with who can sue. You know, you see the government, it loves to regulate you. It loves to pass laws that affect you. And then when you challenge them in court, it says you can't challenge them. You have to get out of court. You have no standing. So that's a really important aspect of that case. But in any event, that's still yet to be argued. So I think the most exciting cases probably aren't going to come out until the end of the term. So we have a few months to wait yet. But it is going to be exciting, and I'm looking forward to it.
That is Cato Institute scholar Anastasia Bowden. Anastasia, thanks for taking some time with us tonight on KMOX.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Thanks again. So coming up next, we are going to talk with the former House Speaker Pro Temp, John Wieman. The Missouri House and the Missouri Senate are back in session, which means you should probably watch out because they're going to start passing laws. Thanks for listening to KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
It is at your service on News Talk 1120 KMOX. My name is Mike Elam. I am filling in tonight. Matt is still running the controls over there, playing some up-tempo music. Look at you, 20 after the hour, as we still going. And just in case you were wondering about the Blues game, don't, because it's not worth it. It's going to be another bad night. That's just how it is. It's like last night when John was on, and he was talking about all those people who are interested in the national championship game, which was a nice, what was it, Matt? 65-7, something like that?
Something like that.
Oh, it was a wonderful game if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan. If you're a TCI or Big 8 guy, it kind of sucks for you. Not so much a good evening, but, you know, it is what it is. Hey, just in case you missed it, the General Assembly is back in session. They got everybody sworn in. All the new folks are there, and they are ready to take on the world. So I decided to talk to a guy who's been there and set the agenda and help talk about how were they going to make the world better. He is a former Speaker Pro Temp of the Missouri House. He is currently the Vice President of Workforce and Strategic Initiatives at St. Charles Community College. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Wieman. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for inviting me to be on the show tonight.
You know, it's been a minute since we've had a chance to talk on the air. So this is very good to be able to get together. How are you enjoying not having to go to Jeff City and deal with all of the craziness that it is?
Well, I'll tell you what. On one hand, I do miss it. But on the other hand, I am extremely happy. I'm moved on to, I think, bigger and better things to do in my community. And my wife is certainly happy I'm home every night.
I'm sure she's probably going, hang on, aren't you supposed to be gone? It's January. I mean, you've been gone for the last 8 years at this time. Why are you always here? I'm sure she would like to have some alone time right about now.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, it's still early in the honeymoon right now.
That's right. She's still enjoying that. Well, congratulations on your new job at St. Charles Community College. I'm very excited that you're there. The community college role in our community these days, which sounds redundant to say it that way, but it's really taken on a cross of not just a college-type role, but also the VOTEC-type role has really been ingrained in the education that they're doing there. And you're seeing all kinds of new things happen at VOTEC. St. Charles Community College just got some great awards for some things that they're doing in the agricultural space, opening a new campus soon, or breaking ground on a new campus on the western side of the county. So your hands are going to be full with everything that's going on there. So congratulations on that job.
Thank you. You know, you're right. It's very exciting what's happening in St. Charles County with the community college. We are definitely moving beyond just, you know, your traditional, you know, junior college where you go there for 2 years and then transfer on to a, you know, university or college. At St. Charles Community College, I mean, we're really looking at really expanding heavily into workforce development and just workforce training. As you mentioned, we're building this huge fantastic, brand new regional workforce and innovation center out in the western part of St. Charles County in Wentzville, and we're excited about that. That we're going to break ground on that in 2023 and this year. It's hard to believe it. We've been planning for this last year, but in June of this year, we're going to probably start looking to break ground. And so exciting things coming ahead.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about that. And Dr. Cavalier has done a fantastic job since she has come in there. But you are good friends with the new Speaker of the House. You know each other very well.
We do. You know, he when he first got elected, he came in on a special election, and he got the honor of sharing an office space with me and another representative, Alan Andrews. And so we became fast friends, and all throughout my time there for basically he was there for 7 of the 8 years that I was there. And so we obviously developed a very good relationship, and I think very highly of Representative Plocker.
So Speaker Plocker now has is from the DePere, Missouri area, and he laid out some of the big things that he wanted to do as he goes into this new year. And Caleb Browner, who is the new president of the Senate, laid out similar items when they gave their big speeches to both of their houses in the Senate and in the House. They both agreed on a couple of things, though. Crime is one thing that they're going to have to tackle. And then they talked about education, a little different views on education, but both of them talked about those issues. Now, what do you think the odds are that we are going to see meaningful legislation changes come through the House and the Senate this year?
I think it's a pretty good chance. I mean, last year we did, you know, despite some of the issues with arguments over the maps, we did get a lot of good legislation passed, and we actually had a special session to do some additional tax cuts. So, you know, certainly there were some things that didn't get done that should have been done. But, you know, I will agree with you. There are several things that both the Senate and the House are on the same page, and that was always my argument, was that we need to get together and kind of strategize and focus on a couple of pieces of legislation that we both chambers work on to try to get passed. This year, I know IP reform is another one you didn't mention, but that's one that's going to be a pretty high priority. I know for the Speaker, he's very interested in getting that done. And I know that Senator Rowden also mentioned it as well. But yeah, education reform, I always say it's kind of like a Groundhog Day, you know, piece of legislation, because every year we're always working on education reform. I can guarantee you we've been doing this for many, many years, and it needs to be done. And certainly one of the things that was mentioned by both the Speaker and President Pro Tem of the Senate was increasing the teacher pay. That's a big one. I will see that probably happen through our budget process.
The teacher pay issue is really going to be a big one, because I didn't realize, I mean, I don't pay attention to how much teachers are paid. I know that's something that we should all probably know, but I didn't realize how low a starting teacher pay in the state of Missouri is. And you could make pretty much what you make as a teacher with a 4-year degree, not a master's, working at McDonald's, literally working at McDonald's. And that's something that we should be embarrassed as a state.
Yeah. You know, that is somewhat misleading when they say the average, you know, starting pay is like $25,000. You know, that's not the average starting pay for here in St. Charles County for a new teacher. It's not the starting salary for a new teacher in St. Louis County, maybe in St. Louis City, but not St. Louis County. So I think a lot of it is contingent upon, you know, what part of the state that you live in. You know, certainly most of the schools receive a high percentage of their revenue comes from local taxes. So a lot of that's contingent upon the local communities and how well they support their local schools. But regardless of the fact, on average, our teachers are being paid less than what they could be making out in the private sector, which has always been the case. But when you have a greater disparity between what they could be making and what they can be making working for a different school in a different state or working in private sector, that starts to have an impact on being able to retain good quality teachers. And, you know, it pays not everything, but it's certainly in this situation, it's getting bad enough. I think we need to address it.
Well, I think the workforce issue that you talked about is something that is obviously it's in the title of your job. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's probably pretty important to you. But that's an issue that everybody is struggling with right now and trying to figure out ways that we can bring more people into the workforce. Next hour, we're going to talk with Scott Drochnick, CEO of the Economic Development Center in St. Charles County. Who used to be the head of workforce development in St. Charles County, just to talk a little bit about these workforce issues. That seems to be another issue that the legislature is going to try and take up a little bit this year.
Yeah, you know, I've had this conversation with the Chamber of Commerce and other folks when I was in the legislature. You know, what can we do to improve the, the workforce? And I really think it's more than just one thing that you can point out to as being the problem. It's a multitude of things. The work ethic, I think, has really changed, and it got worse with COVID. And you know, certainly the different government programs that we have in place that don't necessarily encourage people to go out and work, because if you're getting enough, free money from the government, you know, you're less likely to want to go get a job if you don't have to worry about, how you're going to pay for your next meal. But bottom line is we have to, we have to continue to focus on trying to provide opportunities for individuals to get training or get retrained. You know, our society's changing, technology's changing. And that's one of the things that we're doing in St. Charles County is that we're looking at not only the current technologies and the current trades, but we're looking at the future trades. What are the technologies and things that we're going to have to train the future workers to do? That's something that's also a big thing. But the current problems that we're having right now, it just comes down to, there's just the mentality of people has just changed to, they just don't feel the sense of urgency to go get a job.
The one thing that I'm encouraged about with this year's session, last year was probably the most contentious session, it for sure in the Senate, that I have ever seen in the Missouri legislature. But it seems like this year, with the Speaker and the President of the Senate, they seem to be on more of the same page. And the Senate seems to have, in the words of Bob Seger, turned the page and have moved on to a little more, I don't know what the word would be, we're working together better in the Senate this year. At least it looks that way going in. Is that kind of your view right now?
Absolutely. I can tell you, leadership in any organization, whether it's in government or in private sector, if you've got good leadership or great leadership, things seem to work better. Things seem to get done. And when you don't have good leadership, then problems seem to just magically start occurring all over the place. And I think that's what we've suffered from over the last couple of years, is if we just haven't had really strong leadership. Sometimes it's maybe just over in the House, or sometimes it's over in the Senate, or combination thereof. But, the Senate's kind of unique entity that you have basically 34, independent, senators that, I call them terrorists, but they kind of do their own thing, and they dance to their own tune, and it's hard to manage 34 independent individuals. Over in the House, it's more of kind of a herd mentality, where a group of people, you have to really kind of build coalitions, and it's easier to get. That's why the House passes a lot more legislation to get more things done. But the bottom line is, I believe this year will be, and I believe the next 2 years will be more productive, because I think Speaker Plocker is an outstanding leader, and I think President Pro Tem Rout is in the perfect position for him. And we have a new leader over in the Senate, Senator O'Loughlin, who I think is going to do a fantastic job as majority floor leader. So I'm excited. And then we have a new floor leader over in the House who's going to be who gets along with the Speaker very well, and I think that's important. And so I'm optimistic that we're going to have a pretty productive year.
Well, I share your optimism, and I hope for the state of Missouri and for all of us that this is going to be a good session. That is the former Speaker Pro Temp of the Missouri House of Representatives, Mr. John Wieman. John, thanks for taking the time tonight to be on KMOX.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good night.
Appreciate it. John Wieman, always a good guy to talk to, and I love the stuff that he's doing out at St. Charles Community College. Looking forward to all the big things that's going to happen there. Well, if you haven't heard, our kids are getting bigger. What should we do about that? Well, they came out with some interesting guidelines that they think our kids should follow when they're overweight. We're going to talk with Dr. Michael Garan about that coming up next. It's At Your Service on KMOX. You know, your night's always a little better when you can ROCK in the USA. Thanks very much. It's At Your Service on KMOX. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in the big chair tonight. Very excited to be here tonight. You know, at the first of the year, everybody makes the New Year's resolutions, right? So this is a year, new year, new me. Have you heard that expression before? Yeah, I hate it too. So anyway, but being as a guy who is currently sitting at the heaviest weight he has ever been in his entire 56 years of life, it was time this year for me to say, okay, this is it. We're going to do something. So I'm excited. I've lost 10 pounds so far this year. Now, granted, it is only the 10th of January, so there's still room for me to fall off the bus. But we're on a good path. But our kids are probably the heaviest they've ever been in their life before. And the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with some interesting recommendations for childhood obesity, and it's gotten a lot of attention today. So we decided, hey, this is a big issue. We need to find out some things that we can do to help our kids stay healthy. So we're lucky enough tonight to welcome in Dr. Michael Garan, who is the professor of pediatrics at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and the co-director of USC Diabetes and Obesity Research Center. Dr. Garan, that's a big one, but he's got a great book that is called Sugar Proof, The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Are Putting Your Children's Health, Your Child's Health, at Risk. Dr. Garan, welcome to At Your Service on KMOX.
Hi, Mike. Good evening. Lovely to be here with you.
We're excited to have you here. So I'm going to go out on a limb because of the name of the book, that sugar is a major problem.
Right. Yeah, it's not the only problem, but the research points to it as a common problem and one that's certainly modifiable. And when modified, can have impacts not just on body weight, but some of the comorbid conditions associated with body weight, such as diabetes, fatty liver disease. And it's very relevant to children.
So when we're talking about the hidden dangers of sugar that are putting your child's health at risk, what are some of the recommendations that you're giving to your patients who may see their child's obesity problem becoming a problem?
Well, the new dietary guidelines have pretty clear recommendations on this for kids, and in particular for infants. In fact, the most recent dietary guidelines, which have been a little vague for adults, for infants, they say zero added sugars for infants between 0 and 2 years of age. And by added sugars, we mean sugars that are added to food that are in present and processed foods. We're not talking about whole foods or the sugars in milk. We're talking zero added sugars for infants, and then gradually increasing that to less than 5 or 10% of total calories, which is not much for a young child. Problem is that many, many foods and products that are common and popular among children are high in added sugars. That's the big problem, is the disconnect between what's on the grocery shelves and what is recommended for health.
What do you think about these recommendations that have come out about using more medication for children, or in some cases they were even talking about for teens getting stomach stapled surgery, of things like that? Do you think that's in line of where we should go, or do you think that's a little too extreme?
Well, the new surgical recommendations are intended for children at the extreme end and who also have existing conditions such as type 2 diabetes or hypertension. And this is not taken lightly. It's a recommendation, but it has to be evaluated by a comprehensive team and done in a comprehensive center. And the results, just like for adults, the results in children are quite effective. And we're not talking for young children. We're talking 12 to 15 and above. And it's not just for weight loss, but for reversal of those conditions, which otherwise would be lifelong problems. So it's a serious treatment, but it's very successful treatment too. So that's kind of the nature of those recommendations. And then some of the new medications are also quite effective for treatment. And again, we're not just treating excess body weight, but also treating things like type 2 diabetes, which are becoming more and more common in children as well.
When you're seeing obesity rates continue to increase, what are the BMI numbers that if people say, you know, well, I'm a 24, I'm a 28, I'm a 35, what's a BMI number that causes concern in your mind that says this is something you really need to take some action on?
For an adult or for a child?
For either.
Yeah, so it's a little more complicated and nuanced for children because children are growing, so their weight for height, the BMI is weight for height. The weight for height in a child is constantly changing as a function of growth, so we use normative percentiles. For example, there's different metrics for children. For adults, it's a BMI 30 and above is typically the definition or the classification of obesity, but I think we also need, I think that number is a little, can be misleading. I think it's important also to look at the metabolic state, which is what these new guidelines talk about. In other words, you have to consider, is there diabetes or pre-diabetes or hypertension? So it's a comprehensive picture that you have to look at, not just your weight. Your weight is just a number on the scale. And the same is true for children. We have to look at their overall health status as well.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Goran, who has a book called Sugar Proof, The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Are Putting Your Child's Health at Risk. Doctor, I'm just curious, what led you to sugar? What was it that led you to say sugar was the problem in this? I know you've done a lot of research here. I'm just curious, what triggered that research that led you down that pathway?
Yeah, it was a combination of different studies that we had done over the years, and not just that we had done, but other people had done. And I think what we're seeing, on the one hand, the research that we were doing and others were doing was showing that sugar was a common denominator. It's not the only factor, but it's a common denominator linking obesity to metabolic risk, on the one hand. On the other hand, we're seeing huge increases in the amount of sugar in our food supply, and not just more sugar, but different types of sugar and different combinations of sugar. And so those two things kind of were, our research and my analysis was showing that there was a big disconnect between sugar increasing in the food environment and the research showing that sugar was problematic. And well, it seemed to me that that's a pretty straightforward modifiable factor that families can do something about before they end up having to give their kids medication or consider surgery. I don't want kids to get to that point. I want to address prevention at a very early stage, and reducing sugar can be a very effective strategy for doing that. So I'm curious what worked for you. You said you lost 10 pounds. Was reducing sugar a part of that strategy for you?
Making better choices in foods that I'm eating, drinking a lot of water, actually. I did my physical with my doctor at the end of last year, and my doctor passed along that said, try to drink 100 ounces of water a day. And I will tell you, that's a struggle. To drink 100 ounces of water is a lot. So I'm sitting at, well, I'm now at 264, but I started at 274 at the beginning of the year, and it's pretty much just come down because I've I've cut out the snacks that you're talking about that may have been sugary. So instead of having some chips and dip when I sit down to snack, snacking on nuts, snacking on cubes of cheese for things like that, just trying to drink the water. But the water has done a lot. And I will tell you, when you drink a lot of water in, it comes out, which means that you have to get a lot of steps in going back and forth to the bathroom.
The other thing that it's doing is that it's displacing sugary beverages. And certainly among children, the same is true among adults. Sugary beverages, including not just soda, but also juice and energy drinks and things like that, those are very high in sugars. And so this is something that we need to take a serious look at because typically kids and adults are consuming a lot of sweet drinks. And this accounts not just for a lot of calories, but a lot of sugar that, and it's that high concentrated sugar in solution that is problematic because it's very concentrated and it's not just problematic for weight gain, but also for metabolic abnormalities like diabetes and fatty liver.
So is that the high fructose corn syrup that you're talking about?
Well, yes, so that's partly the issue, high fructose corn syrup, which is the main sugar in most sodas, but also apple juice, very healthy-sounding beverage. Apple juice has even more fructose than high fructose corn syrup, but yet is considered a healthy beverage for most kids.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You know, your night's always a little better when you can ROCK in the USA. Thanks very much. It's At Your Service on KMOX. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in the big chair tonight. Very excited to be here tonight. You know, at the first of the year, everybody makes the New Year's resolutions, right? So this is a year, new year, new me. Have you heard that expression before? Yeah, I hate it too. So anyway, but being as a guy who is currently sitting at the heaviest weight he has ever been in his entire 56 years of life. It was time this year for me to say, okay, this is it. We're going to do something. So I'm excited. I've lost 10 pounds so far this year. Now, granted, it is only the 10th of January, so there's still room for me to fall off the bus. But we're on a good path. But our kids are probably the heaviest they've ever been in their life before. And the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with some interesting recommendations for childhood obesity, and it's gotten a lot of attention today. So we decided, hey, this is a big issue. We need to find out some things that we can do to help our kids stay healthy. So we're lucky enough tonight to welcome in Dr. Michael Garan, who is the professor of pediatrics at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and the co-director of USC Diabetes and Obesity Research Center. Dr. Garan, that's a big one, but he's got a great book that is called Sugar Proof, The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Are Putting Your Children's Health, Your Child's Health, at Risk. Dr. Garan, welcome to At Your Service on KMOX.
Hi, Mike. Good evening. Lovely to be here with you.
We're excited to have you here. So I'm going to go out on a limb because of the name of the book, that sugar is a major problem.
Right. Yeah, it's not the only problem, but the research points to it as a common problem and one that's certainly modifiable. And when modified, can have impacts not just on body weight, but some of the comorbid conditions associated with body weight, such as diabetes, fatty liver disease. And it's very relevant to children.
So when we're talking about the hidden dangers of sugar that are putting your child's health at risk, what are some of the recommendations that you're giving to your patients who may see their child's obesity problem becoming a problem?
Well, the new dietary guidelines have pretty clear recommendations on this for kids, and in particular for infants. In fact, the most recent dietary guidelines, which have been a little vague for adults, for infants, they say zero added sugars for infants between 0 and 2 years of age. And by added sugars, we mean sugars that are added to food that are in present and processed foods. We're not talking about whole fruits or the sugars in milk. We're talking zero added sugars for infants, and then gradually increasing that to less than 5 or 10% of total calories, which is not much for a young child. Problem is that many, many foods and products that are common and popular among children are high in added sugars. That's the big problem, is the disconnect between what's on the grocery shelves and what is recommended for health.
What do you think about these recommendations that have come out about using more medication for children, or in some cases they were even talking about for teens getting stomach stapled surgery, of things like that? Do you think that's in line of where we should go, or do you think that's a little too extreme?
Well, the new surgical recommendations are intended for children at the extreme end and who also have existing conditions such as type 2 diabetes or hypertension. And it's not taken lightly. It's a recommendation, but it has to be evaluated by a comprehensive team and done in a comprehensive center. And the results, just like for adults, the results in children are quite effective. And we're not talking for young children. We're talking 12 to 15 and above. And it's not just for weight loss, but for reversal of those conditions, which otherwise would be lifelong problems. So it's a serious treatment, but it's very successful treatment too. So that's kind of the nature of those recommendations. And then some of the new medications are also quite effective for treatment. And again, we're not just treating excess body weight, but also treating things like type 2 diabetes, which are becoming more and more common in children as well.
When you're seeing obesity rates continue to increase, what are the BMI numbers that if people say, you know, well, I'm a 24, I'm a 28, I'm a 35, what's a BMI number that causes concern in your mind that says this is something you really need to take some action on?
For an adult or for a child?
For either.
Yeah, so for, well, it's a little more complicated and nuanced for children because children are growing, so their weight for height, the BMI is weight for height. The weight for height in a child is constantly changing as a function of growth, so we use normative percentiles. For example, there's different metrics for children. For adults, it's a BMI 30 and above is typically the definition or the classification of obesity, but I think we also need, I think that number is a little, can be misleading. I think it's important also to look at the metabolic state, which is what these new guidelines talk about. In other words, you have to consider, is there diabetes or pre-diabetes or hypertension? So it's a comprehensive picture that you have to look at, not just your weight. Your weight is just a number on the scale. And the same is true for children. We have to look at their overall health status as well.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Goran, who has a book called Sugar Proof, The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Are Putting Your Child's Health at Risk. Doctor, I'm just curious, what led you to sugar? What was it that led you to say sugar was the problem in this? I know you've done a lot of research here. I'm just curious, what triggered that research that led you down that pathway?
Yeah, it was a combination of different studies that we had done over the years, and not just that we had done, but other people had done. And I think what we're seeing, on the one hand, the research that we were doing and others were doing was showing that sugar was a common denominator. It's not the only factor, but it's a common denominator linking obesity to metabolic risk on the one hand. On the other hand, we're seeing huge increases in the amount of sugar in our food supply, and not just more sugar, but different types of sugar and different combinations of sugar. And so those two things kind of were, our research and my analysis was showing that there was a big disconnect between sugar increasing in the food environment and the research showing that sugar was problematic. And well, it seemed to me that that's a pretty straightforward, modifiable factor that families can do something about before they end up having to give their kids medication or consider surgery. I don't want kids to get to that point. I want to address prevention at a very early stage, and reducing sugar can be a very effective strategy for doing that. So I'm curious what worked for you. You said you lost 10 pounds. Was reducing sugar a part of that strategy for you?
Making better choices in foods that I'm eating, drinking a lot of water, actually. I did my physical with my doctor at the end of last year, and my doctor passed along that said, try to drink 100 ounces of water a day. And I will tell you, that's a struggle. To drink 100 ounces of water is a lot. So I'm sitting at, well, I'm now at 264, but I started at 274 at the beginning of the year. And it's pretty much just come down because I've cut out the snacks that you're talking about that may have been sugary. So instead of having some chips and dip when I sit down to snack, snacking on nuts, snacking on cubes of cheese for things like that, just trying to drink the water. But the water has done a lot. And I will tell you, when you drink a lot of water in, it comes out, which means that you have to get a lot of steps in going back and forth to the bathroom.
The other thing that it's doing is that it's displacing sugary beverages. And certainly among children, the same is true among adults. Sugary beverages, including not just soda, but also juice and energy drinks and things like that, those are very high in sugars. And so this is something that we need to take a serious look at because typically kids and adults are consuming a lot of sweet drinks. And this accounts not just for a lot of calories, but a lot of sugar and it's that high concentrated sugar in solution that is problematic because it's very concentrated, and it's not just problematic for weight gain, but also for metabolic abnormalities like diabetes and fatty liver.
So is that the high fructose corn syrup that you're talking about?
Well, yes, so that's partly the issue. High fructose corn syrup, which is the main sugar in most sodas, but also apple juice, very healthy sounding beverage. Apple juice has even more fructose than high fructose corn syrup, but yet is considered a healthy beverage for most kids. So take it, you know, eliminating things like apple juice or even just watering it down, diluting it, can make serious dents in your sugar load and help reduce weight and improve metabolic outcomes. So it's not just high fructose corn syrup that's the problem here.
That is Dr. Sorry about that, Doctor. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say all sugary beverages are problematic.
You can find out more if you go on to sugarproofkids.com. You'll see Dr. Garand's book. You've got recipes, tips, all kinds of things that you can learn on that website. Dr. Michael Garand, we appreciate you spending some time with us tonight at your service on KMOX.
Thanks, Mike. Good luck with the rest of your show and the rest of your year. Best wishes for 2023.
Same to you. Thank you again for taking the time. It's been an exciting hour so far. We've got a couple minutes left that we're going to wrap up on the other side of this break. And then next hour, we're going to talk about the broadband expansion across the United States. And we'll talk a little bit about workforce development as well. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in tonight. You are listening to At Your Service on KMOX.
The Cardinals on KMOX.
Listening to At Your Service on KMOX Radio. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in tonight. It's been an exciting hour. It's been good for me. Like I said, it's coming home. I started my first radio career board hopping Cardinal baseball games and Arkansas Razorback football and basketball games. That's right. Northwest Arkansas. Welcome to it. Woo pig. Sorry. I'm sitting here looking at Matt and it's like, are you a college guy? Are you a pro guy? So you said by college you have to go.
Yeah, my teams are defaulted. Like you said, I root for the Mizzou Tigers as a default, and I root for the Kansas City Chiefs as a default because St. Louis we're a little short in football. I will be rooting for the St. Louis Battlehawks coming up this year.
I'm excited about the Battlehawks coming in. You know, we had stickers here all around the station earlier, so I took some home and gave them to my son to put on his car if he wanted. But it's exciting to have the Battlehawks back. I think they were actually the highest attended of the XFL.
That's right.
So it's good to have them back. It's good to have that going on. My older son works for the Cardinals and doing scoreboard stuff, but he also is working at the soccer stadium. So I'm excited about the new soccer season that's about ready to get kicked off, literally kicked off. So he's going to be working on that crew, but he's hoping to get in and do some Battlehawk stuff as well so we can get involved in that.
There's a lot going on.
There is a ton. You know, sporting news years ago, and it was probably 20, 25 years ago, the sporting news named St. Louis as America's number one sports city, that we had the best sports fans of anyone in the country. And I would put St. Louis sports fans up against anybody. And my proof to that is if you are a retired player and you played for a St. Louis sports team, the odds are when you retire, you want to have a home in St. Louis because the people in St. Louis treat you well. We remember our sports heroes. We love them, whether it was baseball or hockey. I mean, Bernie Federko is still a super popular guy here. And Bernie hasn't played hockey in 20 years, you know. Ozzie Smith will be a legend forever. It's St. Louis, man. You got to love it. And I love being on KMOX tonight at your service. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about the broadband expansion across the United States with Paul Cronin from i3 Broadband. You are listening to At Your Service. My name is Mike Elam. This is KMOX.
The Cardinals on KMOX.
Listening to At Your Service on KMOX Radio. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in tonight. It's been an exciting hour. It's been good for me. Like I said, it's coming home. I started my first radio career board hopping Cardinal baseball games and Arkansas Razorback football and basketball games. That's right. Northwest Arkansas. Welcome to it. Woo pig. Sorry. I'm sitting here looking at Matt and it's like, are you a college guy? Are you a pro guy? So you said by college you have to go.
Yeah. My teams are defaulted. Like you said, I root for the Mizzou Tigers as a default, and I root for the Kansas City Chiefs as a default because St. Louis, we're a little short in football. I will be rooting for the St. Louis Battlehawks coming up this year.
I'm excited about the Battlehawks coming in. You know, we had stickers here all around the station earlier, so I took some home and gave them to my son to put on his car if he wanted. But it's exciting to have the Battlehawks back. I think they were actually the highest attended of the XFL.
That's right.
So it's good to have them back. It's good to have that going on. My older son works for the Cardinals and doing scoreboard stuff, but he also is working at the soccer stadium. So I'm excited about the new soccer season that's about ready to get kicked off, literally kicked off. So he's going to be working on that crew, but he's hoping to get in and do some Battlehawk stuff as well so we can get involved in that.
There's a lot going on.
There is a ton. You know, sporting news years ago, and it was probably 20, 25 years ago, the sporting news named St. Louis as America's number one sports city, that we had the best sports fans of anyone in the country. And I would put St. Louis sports fans up against anybody. And my proof to that is, if you are a retired player and you played for a St. Louis sports team, the odds are, when you retire, you want to have a home in St. Louis because the people in St. Louis treat you well. We remember our sports heroes. We love them, whether it was baseball or hockey. I mean, Bernie Federko is still a super popular guy here, and Bernie hasn't played hockey in 20 years, you know? Ozzie Smith will be a legend forever. It's St. Louis, man. You got to love it. And I love being on KMOX tonight at your service. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about the broadband expansion across the United States with Paul Cronin from i3 Broadband. You are listening to At Your Service. My name is Mike Elam. This is KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.